in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looked like he wanna fight.
Take a little break from the green and gold. We will get to Jason Wilde in about 10 minutes, so stick around for that conversation. But we want to go to the Wisconsin Badgers, who are 2-6. And there looks like there's no light at the end of this tunnel. So the Badgers were playing Oregon this weekend. I'm sure you guys caught at least the score of that one. It was 21-7. Yay! Touchdown! After having back-to-back games where they were held scoreless. And during the broadcast, national broadcaster Tim Brando, FS1, talked about the narrative that is out there about Luke Fickell and his relationships with alumni and his relationship with high school coaches and sort of all of those things that are certainly important to building a brand, building a program, but maybe have been overlooked according to some reports and some comments. I want to hear from, and Joshy, I know you have the Tim Brando sound. You're efforting it back there, right?
Efforting. Yeah, it's gone.
It's gone. Tim Brando made it disappear.
FS1 made it disappear because they weren't necessarily proud of what Tim Brando had said on the broadcast.
So, Gabe, give me the summary of what Tim Brando said on the broadcast this weekend when he was talking about the Wisconsin Badgers, who, by the way, were mired in being wholly outperformed by the, and again, it was a rainy day. It was a sloppy game. It wasn't, you know, your typical Oregon Ducks just putting up like 40 or 50 on you, but nonetheless, the Badgers lost that game. What was the gist of what Brando... Oh, just kidding. Let's hear from Tim Brando.
At all. The noise is out there. I mean, they've been banging on the doors at Camp Randall. A lot of no-shows for home games, and he's aware of it. I mean, it's something that he has mentioned more than just a couple of times this week. And with all these podcasters out there now that want to say, well, oh, the relationships with high school coaches just isn't there anymore. How much do they really, really know? Probably not much at all.
Okay, so the podcasters, quote unquote, in reference there, is our very own Brad Nortman, who is, of course, on the afternoon, Kyle Breston Nortman. You can hear him right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Brad, of course, is a former Badger. Brad lives in the state of Wisconsin. Brad has contacts and connections to people who are associated with this program. This is not some random kid sitting in his basement. He's a fan of the Badgers, and he's just pontificating randomly about what might be causing problems for the Badgers organization. So that is first and foremost. Gabe, your reaction to Tim Brando's criticism of the noise, quote unquote, that is out there surrounding this organization.
So it's just kind of fun because he mentions, oh, Fickell hears it. This wasn't just Tim Brando like stumbling somehow across the clip that was posted from KBN last week. This is clearly a conversation they had in a production meeting because he mentions, oh, hey, but clearly Luke Fickell, he's heard all this. He's well aware of it. And then decides to try to discredit. And again, this is what Luke Fickell did with a Kalen Kaler report from ESPN that he was not letting scouts in. He denied that report, even though apparently he's lying about that. Like, everybody knows he's lying about it because coaches lie. It's what they do. He stepped up to the podium, said that report wasn't true, even though apparently everybody in the college space knows that it is true, that Wisconsin is not letting scouts into their practices. So him going to Tim Brando and complaining about this in hopes that Brando is going to talk about it on the broadcast, it's just, man, that's just embarrassing. Because guess who else this noise is coming from? Barry bleeping Alvarez. If you listen to the Barry Alvarez clips from a couple of weeks ago, Barry was talking about going out into the state, pressing flesh, meeting people within the state of Wisconsin. And I don't think Barry's making that up either. I don't think Coach Alvarez is going, huh, I wonder if there... Barry's not mentioning that on his show that he does Monday nights on ESPN Madison unless there's a reason to bring that up. So to try to discredit anybody else out there who wonders if the relationships are there with the state of Wisconsin, you're not just going after our guy who is an alum and also mentioned, by the way, the alums feel like they're alienated and this only goes further proof of pointing of that point that Brad made. But then you're not just calling out Brad, you're calling out Barry Alvarez, the man who built the program that you have just so thoroughly destroyed.
Yeah, he screwed up. he screwed up when he went to the air raid offense because you were – look, Wisconsin has homegrown, grind-it-out offensive linemen here, okay? That's what they have.
Who are the best?
Wisconsin is known for that.
Who are the best players that they've put through to the NFL? Offensive linemen from this state.
Yeah,
we've got one of them that follows us here in Mark Tauscher. We've got the Hall of Famer.
Joe Thomas.
And Joe Thomas. Like, there are so many Wisconsin offensive linemen in the NFL, it's not even funny. And you decided that you didn't want to recruit him.
Well, he went to the air raid, which you recruit a different kind of offensive lineman, a more athletic, where you kind of get away from the road grader Wisconsin guys, which was stupid because he had the homegrown talent. Because you saw offensive linemen now in the state start going to Michigan, to Penn State, to other schools. And I don't know what he was thinking. You think you're going to get five-star receiver to run an air raid offense out of Texas, California, and Florida? So that's a stupid thing. He should have, and he went back to it. He's back to it now. Like, okay, pro style offense, run the. They don't do it very well because they have no talent. But that was his first mistake. But it Brando, he's.
So to me, this is
we all have tentacles. We all have tentacles, right? And I hear things. I hear things that the attention to detail is a joke. The people. They have what you have. They have invite-only camps where the kids have to pay to go to them, but it's talented kids. This is how my son Dylan at Michigan State went to one of these camps and was offered a scholarship after going to that camp. So I know people that go to these camps and go, the talent they have here is a joke. Who are they recruiting? It's a joke. The attention to detail isn't there. And to me, I don't know, it just feels like a money grab by Fickell because he didn't want to put the work in. And then how do you address, I mean, what does this say about Wisconsin? They fire James Franklin at Penn State. They fire Napier at Florida. They fire Kelly at LSU, right, who have done far better than Fickell has. I mean, is Wisconsin a real program?
Well, Chris McIntosh did come out last week with a letter of support of Fickell. The rumor is that he, of course, wants to keep him. There's a couple of things at play here, and I want to try to dive into them as well. There's nothing tougher than parachuting into a program, which these national broadcasters do. You know, they've got their depth chart, they've got their sheets, they've got all their information. To your point, Gabe, they have production meetings.
Which Tim Brando couldn't even get all of that information correct.
Like what?
He said a running back was out for the year, who is not out for the year for Wisconsin on the broadcast, and said that Danny O'Neill is injured. He is not injured. So Tim Brando, very good at keeping his information straight.
So you parachute in, and that's already tough enough, and then you're trying to glean as much information as possible, and you rely on those production meetings, to your point, Gabe, to get sort of the narratives, to get sort of the feel of the vibe of the program, because you can't get that from reading a depth chart. You can't get that from looking at box scores. So that's why you have those meetings. Obviously, it came up in the meeting. Obviously, Tim Brando thought that he should carry water for the program and maybe defend Luke Fickell, which was very nice of him. But this is a classic case of trying to help and doing more harm. Because the problem is that the quote-unquote podcasters actually have their thumb on the pulse of the program. And a guy like Brad Nortman, who we have mentioned is an alum, who lives in the state, who has connections and contacts with people who are still involved in the program, he probably knows more than the national broadcaster parachuting in. And so it seemed like a fight that Brando shouldn't have taken on. There should have been a realization of, man, things are real ugly. Things are real bad right now in Madison. Things are bad at Camp Randall. Let's just stick to the X's and O's. Let's just stick to what's happening on the field. Let's not dive into. But unfortunately, when you have a lopsided affair, Gabe, and you know this because you've called games before, you get stuck. You get stuck having to fill airtime. And that's when you sort of go to the well and you go and you start digging on things.
But he did this in the second quarter. There's still plenty of time left. Like, this was an actual competitive game still in the second quarter.
Well, that's a very good point.
Much to the surprise of everybody that this was still a competitive game in the second quarter.
Again, thank you, Mother Nature.
When he decided to carry water for Luke Fickell.
Go ahead, Gabe.
I just... It's disappointing that Fickell would bring this up, and obviously bothers him. And he trying to discount and, these are just broadcasters. They don't know what they're talking about. When, again, the broadcasters, Brad Nortman, who played in this program, lives in the community, has connections in the high school game. Like, trying to me, that just disqualifies Luke Fickell. Like, the product on the field hasn't been good. And right now, if I'm taking all the context that's out there at the University of Wisconsin, Chris McIntosh wants Fickell to be the guy. And with that letter that you mentioned, Jen, we're going to put more money into this. Where they're getting that money is anybody's guess. But they're going to put more money into the program, and then that's going to make Luke Fickell better. To me, Luke Fickell has improved that he deserves to get that more money because he hasn't made the connections with Wisconsin high school coaches. He hasn't made the connections to the alumni. And when somebody wants to criticize him for something that he clearly has not done, that again, Barry Alvarez has also criticized him for, he wants to go to Tim Brando to try to discount it. Like, you haven't earned the right to get that more money that Wisconsin wants to put into this program. Like, it's one thing to lose on the football field. It's another to not do all the other little things that make me think you can turn the program around. Because you haven't put in the work. That part is painfully obvious.
McIntosh is going to go down with the ship because no one blames him for hiring him.
Nope.
Okay? Because Fickell was the hot guy at the time, and there were probably 10 schools that would hire him. Okay?
And this Fickell had said no.
How are you
going to
recruit? What recruit is going to go, hey, we're bringing Fickell back for one more year, right? What recruits are they going to go, oh, yeah, he's going to turn it around. They're going to go, I ain't going there. That guy's getting – if he ain't getting canned this year, he's getting canned the next year.
Well, I'll take it one step further, Chu. You mentioned the coaching carousel and how many positions are open there.
Mm-hmm.
I would argue that Wisconsin ranks near the bottom of those options for the hot coaches out there. So you're not getting and I know that Lane Kiffin's name has been mentioned for Florida and maybe LSU. You're not going to get a great candidate of the caliber that you had where Fickell landed during that coaching carousel. You're not getting somebody of that caliber, of that ilk this time around if you move on from Fickell. Man, they are in between a rock and a hard place right now, and it is their own doing. And that is what is crazy about where the Wisconsin Badgers have fallen in such a fast and in such a short amount of time.
And again, I don't think anybody blames Chris McIntosh for keeping Fickell around even this year. Okay, 2 years. Last year, you ended the bowl streak. All right, let's see if you can turn it around. Well, the answer is no, they can't turn it around.
It got worse.
It got worse. So I don't even blame them for not even firing Fickell last year. Like, as disappointing as last year was not going to a bowl game, I get bringing him back this year. They bring him back for year four, and you think the no-shows are bad this year? Can you imagine how empty Camp Randall Stadium is going to be next year?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is the bed that they've made.
It is a frustrating situation, to be sure, if you're a fan of the Wisconsin Badgers. We got to take a break. We have Jason Wilde coming up next, talk green and gold. We've enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, we're not the most handy people. We can handle our own on some things. But for the big things, for the important things, we always call our friends over at PCI. Why? Because Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. That's important to us. But it is also important that they do exceptional work week in and week out on all of your projects. And if you are interested in maybe building a new home or you've got a remodel that you're scheduling, can you consider PCI? Because you should. They will do a great job on your project just like they did on ours, on our balcony, on our basement, on our siding. You name it, they've crushed it. ProfessionalConstructionInc.com is the website. Check them out at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros, ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros and Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
never I say when it comes to getting Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm sorry, guys. I talk to the girls all the time about let's not make unforced errors, right? Hey, there's going to be situations that come up that you have to deal with. Some of them are going to be difficult, but don't make any self-inflicted mistakes. So Packers playing Sunday Night Football. I stay up late writing, obviously. Don't get to bed till after 2.
Did you stay up for the World Series game?
Yes. What am I doing, man? What do I care who wins game 3? What am I doing?
It was a hell of
a
game,
though. Then I oversleep and I forgot to set my alarm. And no, I'm sure it was a hell of a game. I would have liked to have seen how it ended. But I still fell asleep before it ended.
Oh, wait, you stayed up and then didn't even get to see the ending?
Yeah, what ending did it end up ending in?
18.
I think I made it through I think at 16th inning, I think
you made it to 16?
At.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
This is like, what's the double whammy thing that Chewy talks about when you have to pay and you trade? What is he call that
the double whammy? Yeah.
This is the double whammy. This is the Jason Wilde double whammy. You missed the end of the game that you stayed up for, and then you slept in and missed your hit here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yeah. I'm the worst. I'm the worst, Jerry. Yeah, very fair.
I saw this and I found it interesting, and there's no other place to put it. But apparently, so there have been 2 18-inning games in World Series history. Brad Paisley
both
sung
the Chavez Ravine.
Brad Paisley sung the national anthem before both games.
Whoa! What a coincidence!
Wow!
Parallel universe type stuff.
So if Brad Paisley's singing the national anthem at a game you're at.
Buckle up. Jinx. Jason, I want to talk about Jordan Love. We started the show this morning referencing some of the articles that are out there saying that Jordan Love should be firmly in the MVP conversation after his performance on Sunday. I think it was the best. Obviously, I know it was the best regular season performance that he has had. I think the only passer rating that was better was that game against Dallas in the postseason. But you had the maturity that he showed, the composure, the resolve, to say nothing of how that translated to the performance on the field. Do you think that Jordan Love deserves to be in the MVP conversation right now?
I don't think there's any question he deserves to be in the conversation. They're 5-1-1. They've got the best winning percentage in the NFC. He's played really well. And this is the thing that I keep going back to. And Gabe, I know we talked about it before. Like, you know, I have people getting mad at me for pointing out the interception in Cleveland and the way he handled the final 30 seconds of overtime in Dallas, where he throws that check down when he knows he can't throw the ball, you know, in the field of play without any timeouts and all that other stuff. But the reason I bring those up is because look what he's done the last 3 games since, right? He makes the huge throw to Golden in the Cincinnati game, where he's running to his left and throws back kind of across his body as Golden is dragging toward the left sideline. He makes the throw to Tucker Kraft on 4th down in Arizona to set up the go-ahead touchdown. And then obviously the way he played with 20 consecutive completions and the throws he made against Pittsburgh, like what he has done is he's taken 2 late game mistakes and he's turned around and come through in late game situations since. Like, that to me is the mark of an MVP and a guy who's evolving into being one of those top tier type players. Now, do I think he's there yet? No. But do I think there's reason to be really encouraged? Because I'll tell you this, when he was making those mistakes late in games, and Tausch has some shekels on him winning the MVP, him and Jesse put down a wager on that. Like, those are the things that people who don't win MVPs do, are those types of mistakes when the game is on the line. So the evolution that he is going through toward being that kind of player, absolutely he deserves to be in the conversation. I don't know if he's going to win it or not, but he certainly deserves to be in the conversation.
Jason, are they just getting the ball more to Tucker Kraft because he's getting open, or are they actually calling plays where he is the number one option? Because 19 targets in the last 2 weeks combined, I feel, isn't a coincidence.
It's not. And LaFleur was asked that exact question, and he said it's both. It's both, right? I always love when they finish the sentence with right. We've got a couple assistants on the staff.
Chewy does it all the time.
You know, from a quoting standpoint, I'm never sure. Do I have to leave that in to accurately quote them? Because the word right is going to appear about six times in this paragraph. But it is both, right? he's getting open, and they're designing plays where he is the first option to get the ball. Now, I would also add that, and I asked LaFleur about this, and I wrote about it this morning. I do think that if you are spread it around, keep everybody involved guy, and you're also on the record saying we'd be crazy not to build our passing game around him, there's going to be some guys that are going to be frustrated. Now, again, I don't know enough about the kids these days to understand what everything means. But if you deactivate your Instagram account, if you scrub your social media, which is what Matthew Golden did, if you scrub your social media of Packers references, which is what Romeo Doubs did last year, I don't know if he ever restored those or not. Like, are those signals that you're unhappy? Are those, you know, I don't know, maybe Golden just didn't want to deal with people, you know, complaining about three catches for 4 yards and I lost my fantasy football matchup because of you. But I do wonder, and that's why I asked LaFleur about it, how do you manage that? Like, you want to be able to say, oh, yeah, we're, you know, that this team, it's all for one and one for all, and we don't worry about that as long as we're winning. Well, that's not how it works. I've been in the locker room for too long. Guys that aren't getting their ops get frustrated and get irritated, even if you are winning. So I'll be curious to see how he navigates that, because both things are good things, right? Getting the ball to Tucker Kraft is a good thing. Keeping everyone involved to a varying degree is also a good thing. So how do you figure out how to do both those things without making it so it's a bad thing, where you're not getting Kraft the ball enough, or you're trying too hard to get guys involved, you're not succeeding, and now you've got some disgruntled would-be pass catchers. I'm eager to see how they handle that.
Jason, we're paying attention to the cornerback situation. I know that you are as well. We talked about some things that have happened in the league at that position. And Chewy said yesterday he believes that Brian Gutekunst will make a move and address cornerback. Do you think he will?
I don't know, man. If it's going to cost him a draft pick, he's already down 2 first-round picks. The one bad thing is that the Titans traded away one of the guys that was on the ESPN trade list of possibilities that Matt Bowen and somebody else put together. And then the Titans went and plucked Micah Robinson, the Packers' 7th-round pick, off their practice squad. So now one of their own in-house candidates is no longer on the roster either, or no longer with the team. And so I don't know who's out there. I'm reluctant to say that they're going to make a move that requires them to give up a pick. I suppose if it's – I love these new trades, by the way. And the Rasul Douglas trade a couple of years ago was one of the first ones like this, where you give up the player and you get a draft pick back, but you also give up a worse draft pick as part of the deal. Like, everyone – how many people have you heard say – well, at least they got a 3rd-round pick for Rasul Douglas.
Everyone.
Right? They didn't get a 3rd-round pick for Rasul Douglas. They got a 3rd-round pick for Rasul Douglas and a 5th-round pick. So they moved up 60 spots from wherever they were in the 5th round to where they ended up in the 3rd round. But all they didn't get an extra pick. They did not pick an extra time in that draft when they gave up Rasul Douglas. And to me, that's great. If you're able to move up, great. But let's not paint it as something that it's not. And so if you're able to, you know, do a little 6-7 trade where you give up a 7th and a player and get a 6th back, if you're, you know, whoever's trading the corner to the Packers, that's a pretty good deal for them. Like, if it's a guy that they wanted to move on from anyway. But to me, if you're going to make a trade, if you're giving up a player who is a valuable asset to you, you better get more than just a move up or down the draft board.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Jason, last year, the Packers, after the Jordan Love injury, they pivoted their identity and who they were offensively. They became a run-first team, ended up running the ball 52% of the time last year. And Josh Jacobs ended up having a top-five season in the history of the Green Bay Packers in terms of running backs go. This year, the run game not going well. And the way that Jordan Love played in that second half, do they have to change their identity once again and go back to a pass-first team, run things through Jordan and Tucker in hopes of running, opening up the running game?
Yeah, I think that if you believe that he is truly an MVP candidate, you're comfortable doing that. But that is not what Matt LaFleur wants. Matt, unlike Mike McCarthy before him, when Matt LaFleur talks about committing to the run game, he actually means it. He actually does believe in the value of it, as opposed to Mike, who just, God bless him, he just loved to throw it around the yard. And he had two Hall of Fame quarterbacks while he was doing it, so who could blame him, right? I'm curious, have you looked at what their split is this season?
They have thrown it
for run to pass.
They have thrown it 10 more times than they ran it. And so I believe they threw it 11 more times in this past game. So going into the game against Pittsburgh, they were pretty much 50-50. And basically 50-50 now, because they're barely over in terms of
right, pass to run. And I mean, there's been times, I think the last time they were as heavy run as they were last year was in 03 when Amon Green, I think they were 53-47 that year. You know, look, I think Matt LaFleur wants to be around 50-50 with a little smidge over running. I think, you know, that game specifically against the Steelers, I mean, they read the stat sheet, right? They know that's the 31st ranked pass defense. They feel like they can do some damage there. But I still think he wants to have Josh Jacobs be the bell cow. And they also, you know, you and I have talked about this before. Like, I feel like Emmanuel Wilson is one of the more underrated players that they've had on their roster in a long time. Like, people just don't appreciate. Every time they put him in there, he's productive. I mean, he just is. So I think he would still rather be, you know, 51-49 or 50.5, 49.5. So I'm not surprised that they're still hovering around 50-50, even with the struggles they've had getting the run game going, even with, you know, some bumps and bruises for Josh Jacobs. So I would expect, and especially when the weather turns, I know they all love the idea of teams trying to tackle Josh Jacobs when it's cold outside and the footing is questionable. So I don't think they're going to pivot with their approach. I think they'll probably still lean into the run. They just got to run the ball better, and that's a big priority.
But if they get off to a faster start, Jason, with their offense and throw the ball a little bit, to me that also opens up the defense and protects your defensive backs a little bit, because if you start building those leads, teams are going to want to throw it more and hold on to the ball and try to push the ball down the field, and that unleashes Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and look, they did that in the first two games, right? I mean, they got out the leads there. I love it when Homer changes the score of games because he eliminates the garbage touchdowns. He did it again with the Steelers game on Sunday night. So, yeah, look, and I don't mean this in a condescending, douchey way, but great point, Gabe. Yeah, it's better when you get a lead. It allows you to do a lot of things. But again, I really do believe that Matt LaFleur believes in the run game. You know, we spent a lot of time talking about play action, and I'm not sure that that's appreciably better, appreciably different. I haven't looked at the numbers on that. But their run game has not been good enough. We can all agree on that. It certainly has not been up to the standard of last year. You know, I think they're finding some continuity on their offensive line now. But, you know, again, Josh Jacobs' numbers on Sunday, it was another bad yards per carry average. But they're getting, it's not like they're not getting anything out of it. They're still getting something out of it, but they're not getting nearly as much out of it as they did last year.
Jason, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, I'm going to try not to oversleep for the start of our show in 22 minutes.
Don't go back to sleep.
Sorry for keeping you guys waiting.
No problem at all.
Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde can be heard on Wilde and Tausch right after our show here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Okay, listen. October 10th was World Mental Health Day, but it doesn't mean that we should only talk about mental health on October 10th. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp, and BetterHelp is an opportunity for you or anyone else that you know out there who is struggling with life's challenges, navigating the difficult stuff to get help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just dial #250, say the keyword timeout. And here's the thing, guys. BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform. They've served more than 5 million people globally. And on the App Store, they have a 4.9 out of 5 rating based on 1.7 million client reviews. 1.7 million people can't be wrong. If you find yourself needing help, BetterHelp is the answer. Go to your phone, put #250 in and say the keyword timeout for 10% off your first month. That's keyword timeout after calling #250 because we are all better with help.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
If you feel like you're running on empty, Mentality Health is here to help. And they can help with low testosterone. That's what they focus on. Especially your free testosterone levels, which a lot of doctors can overlook. All right, so how do you know if you're dealing with low testosterone? Some of the symptoms are if you have low energy and motivation. You're just tired all the time. Have that fatigue. Weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. You're feeling anxious, moody, irritable. All signs of low testosterone. So book an appointment today, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and go through the process. Your first time through, you get a full physical consultation, blood panel and analysis. And if your testosterone levels are low, you can get a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. Your energy comes roaring back, the belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens. But more importantly, you start to feel like yourself again, confident, driven, and ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back. Be the best for yourself and your family. Go to mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio to book an appointment today.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night? Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
And speaking of games, guys, Potawatomi Sportsbook is right there with you for all international games and matches. The Midwest's best sportsbook opens early, and maybe you don't want to watch a game, but you still want in on the action. You can wager on any sport, anytime, at a quick service kiosk. Of course, that's at the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
All right, guys. I don't know if I have as many gripes. I'm actually kind of excited about how things have gone, except for one, I think, omission or error, and it's probably a team you can guess. So let's start it off with number 10.
Packers? So the Packers are going to be lower than I think. Hoping. Yeah. At number 10, I will say the Seattle Seahawks.
Ooh. I did not have the Seahawks in my top 10. Maybe that's an error by me. I have the Patriots at number 10 on my list.
The Patriots are number 10. The Seattle Seahawks are at 11.
Oh, darn. See, I might have guessed Seattle next, but he gave me that little nugget there. And now you won't guess Seattle again.
The Pats at 6-2 are 10?
Uh-huh.
5 wins in a row gets you 10?
Yeah, I mean, they've beat some stinky teams, but they look really good.
Yeah.
Drake May looks like a superstar.
You just mentioned this morning when you were talking about the MVP
odds. He's third.
He's in top 3.
Yeah.
He's third.
Yeah. Whoops, Bears. Sorry about that one. Number 9.
How about the Rams at number 9?
Rams got to be higher than that. Okay. I will say, oh man, where do I want to go here? I will go Denver Broncos.
Denver Broncos is correct. Yay.
1-1.
Uh-huh. Moving on to number 8.
Crud. Broncos. Rams?
I think they got to be high on the Rams. I will say the Chiefs got to be higher than this, but I'll go Chiefs.
The Los Angeles Rams are your 8th ranked team this week in the power rankings.
Why did you think they should be higher, Gabe?
The Rams?
Yes.
I don't know. They've won a couple of games in a row. I feel like everybody's high on them, but being potentially the best team in the NFC.
They dropped from 5 to 8. And they didn't play. They just merely had a bye.
Oh, so everybody else just moved around them.
Yeah. Yep. So moving up to number 7.
That's tough.
Shoot. 7. So I think that they're higher on the Buccaneers. than 7. But I think they're higher on the Buccaneers than the Packers. I'm nervous that this might be where the Packers are based on what Joshy said about one team being lower than we think.
Yeah, I think the Packers were 8 last week. I got the Packers here at 7.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go.
That is correct. The Green Bay Packers are up one spot after beating Aaron Rodgers and
you
the
Steelers.
You don't like
it?
No.
Where would
you have
slotted
them? Best team.
5?
They have the best team
4?
In the... Yeah, I would have had them at 5. They have the best record in the NFC, and keeping them out of the top 5... Especially considering the Lions are up there, a team that they beat, have less losses than. Like, the Packers should be higher than the Lions.
Number 6.
Could also make the argument that the Chiefs, who have 3 losses on the ledger, probably deserve to be lower than that, too.
But the Chiefs have looked really good the last 4 weeks.
I didn't get to watch much of last night's game. I watched
a few turnovers
series.
Early, but then they dominated. Yeah.
Is that what it was? Because when I caught it, it was close. And I was like, huh, how about that?
Yeah.
Rashee Rice has turned them into just an unstoppable force.
So are we going with the Chiefs here, or do we think the Chiefs are higher? I'm going to go with the Buccaneers here.
I got Tampa Bay.
Kansas City Chiefs, number 6, up only 1 spot. Number 5.
They're better than Kansas City's better than Tampa Bay.
I would
better
argue
than
that
everyone.
As well.
We just need to accept it.
Like, fine. If you want to guard the top 10 and keep Kansas City out, do so at your own peril.
All right. I got the Lions here.
No. Buccaneers.
You go, no.
Buccaneers.
They were number
are
1. Lions were number 1 last year.
Darn it. Oh, see, I missed last week, so I didn't know that they were number
number
1.
Number 4.
Bills?
I'll say the Eagles here.
I'll channel my Chewy. Buffalo is number 4. We've got 3 left. Will you guys put them in the right order?
So
I feel good about the order I'm in.
You do?
Well, so especially I had Bills at 3, so I'm just going to shift the Eagles to 3.
I was going to say Lions at 3.
Philadelphia Eagles are 3. And then
really?
The last 2, I think we can figure out.
Time out. I know we're in a rush. Do we really think that? Yeah, I know. I can tell.
Yes.
Do we really think that the Lions are better than the Eagles right now? Yes?
Yes.
I do think the Lions are better than the Eagles. But I also think the Packers are better than the Eagles and the Packers are down at 7. Or excuse me, the Packers are better than the Lions. Because we saw that game on the football field and Packers all the way down at 7.
All right. So if we know that the Lions are at 2, at least we think they are.
Yeah, it's Lions Colts.
I'm shocked that the Colts are the best team in the league.
Yeah, they just keep putting it on everybody.
You know what it is? I bought the narrative that Daniel Jones was no good.
Well, I mean,
he had been.
In
no
fairness,
good. Yeah.
In fairness, he had been no good.
You had proof of plenty on him being
Thank
no good.
You. I appreciate that, validating my perspective. But of course, Jonathan Taylor has been lights out this season. There's even talk about him being in the MVP conversation. Even though Gabe, you are very convinced
he is not
that
in the MVP conversation.
That he should not be.
Well, no. I think he should be, but he's not.
Yeah, he's going to coast to an offensive player of the year.
Yep.
The Colts are very focused on getting him as many touchdowns as humanly possible. He has 4 3-touchdown games this season.
So if he's not in the MVP conversation, then it's because he's a running back.
1,000%. Running backs can't win the award.
For whatever it's worth, I did just see on the televisions above us on GetUp of them talking about should Jonathan Taylor be an MVP candidate. So they are starting to get a little percolation.
His odds are worse than Jordan Love's.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Like, it's just all those things that Josh just said are 100% true. He's plus 1,800.
Yeah. But again, when we're looking for bright spots about Wisconsin football, I'm going to cling to Jonathan Taylor for a little bit here, guys. Does that work for you as well?
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe they let that guy be a second round pick. Just the most obvious, this guy's going to work in the NFL. He's got the size, the speed. And then every time he's given opportunity, what does he do? Prove to be one of the best running backs.
The only thing that's ever held him back is health.
Yes.
I've said to you guys that I think he should have been in New York for the Heisman conversation, for the Heisman trophy ceremony as well. Something exciting is happening at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's on the second floor. It's the studio, kitchen, and cocktails. If you're trying to figure out where you should have breakfast or lunch or dinner or maybe some after-dinner drinks, your new spot should be the studio, the perfect place to gather, celebrate, and connect. It is the studio, kitchen, and cocktails now on the second floor at St. Kate the Arts Hotel.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
It's so good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Of course, we've talked about how October 10th was World Mental Health Day, but that's not the only day that you can address your mental health. If you find yourself struggling, if you find yourself having a tough time navigating the challenges of life, BetterHelp can help. Our listeners get 10% off their first month. Just call #250 and say the keyword timeout. That's #250. Say the keyword timeout to start your BetterHelp journey, because we are all better with help. Will the Intelligence next on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great day, everybody.